Journey to a Known Place. Section 1. Terra. Tundra, the distant marches, and wind veering, clatter of steely grasses. Steady tramontane, pummeling eye and bone. Between hummocks, the ice shell, glinting, splintered under our tread, slashing our shoes, the papery leather flaking, crumbling. And the earth reached before us and behind us and at our sides to the imperceivable horizon, and direction wavered and slewed in the barrenness. Yet we followed without question, led without hesitation, our line, ophidian, dividing the wilderness, the left hand and the right hand. We were the journeyers. We were the vexed and doubtful folk. And this was the journey to the ships, and we knew only, marching in disorder, driven or staggered by dry, frozen wind, that at the end of our endless file, on a day among many, indistinguishable, would lie the two ships of our destination, the ship of the red sail, the ship of the white sail. And which vessel to choose was a matter of contention among us. I heard the tanglement of voices, demanding, cajoling, the red sail, the white sail, the red, and the wind veered, bending the steely grasses. At night the moon shed a shadowless whiteness, and I wondered if this were the true color of lunacy, or if the low fiery sun, glowing without warmth, resembled the day of our ultimate despair. We spoke in the voice of our fathers, utterance laden with prophecy, clerical and severe. Occasionally, as we advanced into the vastness before us, machines of the recent wars appeared by the way, shattered and desolate, akimbo, swart with a gangrenous rust, and the ginger snake made haste on the frozen land. We encountered, too, the camps of the untidy aged, a few sticks and a tent cloth flapping, mad women of exhaustion, loose-eyed, the leer of defeat, the patriarch's paw-handed shame. And still the column moved in continual clamor, the voices shouting, crying, and contending, and some there were who walked backwards in the heat of the argument, gesturing in antagonism. And in the confusion of voices I sickened, but went onward. Once in the hard light a blade shone, and the victim lay writhing. I cried out, shortly, as in the voice of a woman, and passed on with the rest. In the closeness of people was no warmth, for the wind flowed among us, but a surge and stink of bodies like the huge discord of voices. Vomit cringed in my throat. And after a time, how long I do not remember, earth in its flatness ended in the flat sea, where the two ships lay at their wharves, others attending offshore. And the sky reeled in hysteria, gulls screaming for a bit of meat, nor did our tomb diminish. But men fought, often with women and children, cursing and struggling, often with one another in explosions of fury, claiming here historical necessity, claiming there the divine will, and we had no unreadiness of combative slogans. And men dragged one another aboard the ships, others filling the beaches with confusion, the absolutists called in the beast of fear. For this was the mammoth conglomerate, the throbbed gland and the wormy nerve, the voice box quaking. And when in our midst the two ships moved from their moorings, crowded with men and women and their children in multitude, some were pushed over the sides and into the sea, and others leapt willingly. In the gray, sloping waters, heads bobbed like rotten fruit, and there came two more ships immediately. I, too, was thrown this way and that in the throng, and shaken in my sickness like a leaf on a great tree with the autumn wind blowing. And I drifted apart, stumbling and fitful, and eddied away, swinging on windy voices, the terrible land behind me, and so entered the sea. Section 2. Aqua. Colder than land is the random sea, shriveling, vein and sinew, as the long tow took me, tumbled me, forward and down through the waves, wheeling and plunging. Ram herds curled in their charge to the restless demon, the bugling weather, and I forward and down in the chambers of amethystine light. Outward the deeper sluices, swaying, rocked me in the sea's exhaustless movements, heaving in tidal energy, while coldness seeped almost sweetly into my heart and a numbness as of some grave and true dispassion altered my thoughts. Such was awareness of solitude, the callous silence abloom in decaying voices, the ripe rot of the years. For alone I moved, where serpentine sea plants with flexive gestures swung in the waters, dancing the laziest saraband in the primary darkness, and downward the dimness of interiors opened before me. Wavering fishes, the febrile schools, silver and gold, shone gloomily beyond my fingertips, which extended willlessly in the waters, bending in the cadences of a dream. And the lobster flounced on the sand, mad claws dragging a wasp's body. The grampus plied there in the unctuous waters, and the blowfish stuffed with fear. I saw the manatee browsing, imperturbable, obese. The halibut, twisted and anguish-eyed, fled from himself. 10,000 herring marched right oblique at unison's mute command. Down, down to the stiller mid-regions, where giant sea snails hung torpid in copulation, half out of their shells, white flesh rolling, exposed obscenely in the slow coiling and cramping of a cruel and monstrously deliberate ecstasy. And I looked away in my boredom, but other snails hung also before my eyes, everywhere, coupling identically, an abhorrent multitude, until they also rose at last above me. The far sea floor appeared in the gloom, black pinnacles mounting. I saw the black roving shark, voracity, finned and a prowl, impatient, powerful, rip-toothed for the living prey, there and now here, hunting, hunting. And the shapes of lost fantasies, every carnality, slithered and lurked on the primitive rock. Massive eels upheaved and subsided, blind mouths, vulviform, maneuvered in the lewd, ingestive suck. Brilliant anemones took down their prey convulsively from the waters. Still I moved downward, drifting unharmed in the carnage, down to the bottommost cave, which I knew would contain the great beast of the sea, primal, supreme. And the ultimate cold of the depths lapsed softly into my flesh, obscurely, like a casual cry in the night. And I came then to the cave where the monster awaited me, many-armed and dark, a slow, aimless uncoiling of tentacles. And passively, for I knew no force of movement, I floated into the entanglement of an embrace that flowed around me like the coils of an immobilizing ether. Coldness consumed my brain, and the great beast's webbed grasp drew me close to his enormous, baleful eyes, and he peered into me, so that I knew him, and from my revulsion, deep and beyond fear, the salt of my eyes was born to join the seas. I slept, and awoke on a shore where the air was bright, and above me, extending to the height at which vision dissolves in aspiration, a mountain rose from the sea. Section 3. Air. Air in its brightness, moist and warm, bore my ascent now, eddying and upcoursing. For I toiled now, walked limping, injured, so in the hiding might of the sea, and lurched on the rocks. But sinuous winds urged me, aimed me, flowing, curling in supple rills over my body, mounting upward continually. Sleep purged, awake now, thighs and back straining, nervy, and the rich wind humming with spice, deep laden. An eagle became my companion, riding the currents, broad wings guiding me upward on plume and freshet. Simoon rolled in the gullies, and the hot breeze, heavy with sweet dew, pungent, lifting close to my shoulders. And I leaned to my limp, learning, swinging at last on my wound, upward, long gated, and the steeps shearing above me pronounced my eagerness. Let it be said again, the tunes of the harp are in the strings and the sequences thereof. Hear these inward parts, hear them shimmering. The wholeness grows in itself, so, like the western sky ascending at sunset, intricate, aureate, and free. And my guide returned, dallying on the wind, broad wings as of my spirit now, shaped to the structures of air, the reeled air, curving, flowing, wings to beat on the sudden blast. Lone as I, we two moving, skilled now in the profound and lovely necessities, mutenesses, the sturdy moments. Look, look, pride and courage, a bird's eyes, but also, more fiercely, honesty, honor's dint, the inner appraisal and submission, such as is given to animals, without hope or the want of it, granting less the seen power to fulfill need than the need itself. So much must one do in loneliness, so much shyly in freedom. And in long afternoon I rested, drenched in air, and there heard the eagle's voice above me, where he alit on a scarped tor, and at first laughter bulged on my lips for what I heard, feeble and shrill, but quickly I understood this was the eagle's song, and in it I heard how he used his voice well and fully in the ancient way, and I heard also how the beauty of it came in this use, how the song throve in the wind, fared outward among rocks and steeps, ventured and returned, became, was, eloquence of the mountain, that shrillness, tone of flint, singing the whole selfhood of loftiness, and of rock, and of the licorice air, and of all the names of that good place. And in listening, my ears forgot the woolly sweat moss clinging, and I heard in the song that voice raised to the genius of mountain rock, my being, sentient and known. Onward we went then until, toward nightfall, hunger overcame me, and the bird saw my distress, and brought me an egg which was, I knew, a work made in the manner of perfection. And I broke it, and ate the contents, and that night I slept peacefully in the ochre moonlight, dreaming of dry heads spiked smiling high on an old bridge. And in my dream the heads sang melodiously, all in a tune. In the morning I rose and resumed my journey, stepping on the winds, the great bird ever near me, air turning, soaring, and I no more the marauder. When the sun stood near the zenith, the eagle left me, wheeling away in a circle, widely, so that my eye, following him, saw the sea outstretched, blue and blazed with the plumy grain, ocean's wide marching corn, and the ships, so many, putting out from the mountain, a wind tossing of bright pennants, moving, and off, remotely, on the far curve of earth, land, yellow and vert, ornamented. Yes, Lyonnais, Atlantis, gay Wyoming. And when I looked again to the eagle, he had risen far above me, and above the mountain, high on the vortical currents, soaring, into the blinding depths of the sun. Section 4, Ignis. Upward into the dome of brilliance, limping, I, the tired climber, acquiring strength from fatigue, weakness repaired in desire, I, mounting, going where the stout clumps of wild wheat purply ripened, among rocks glowing like porcelain now, like jade, among silken grasses flowing in flame-like waves, among the increasing flowers, thickening trees, the purslane bedded between the roots of oak, aspiring now in sun's cascading element, splendors upbranching, the palpitant, leafing blood. Sing, little voice of the sun, lordly and lovely, eloquent boy of the light, so meaning, so dumb, that at last it is this one, the small one, our princeling, who levels us, marries us, tumbles us, scarred or untouched in the crowded garden. Sing, little voice, the imperfect song of done and done, imperfect and wrong. Sing with the sun, our infant, lordly and lovely, leveling all. For the light alone does pierce armor and shell and the knurling skull, giving done and done, one and one, to behold, each in each. Inward, the light enters each darkness alike, and in similitude is understanding. Sing, little voice, the imperfect song of gratefulness, as my shadow, handsomer, sings. Light, which moves at the rate of 186,000 miles per second, requires 100,000 years to cross from one rim of our galaxy to the other rim. Tell me, I murmured, tell me, what does it mean at this way station? For God's sake, interpret me this, I mumbled. The light-sensitive elements of the human retina number 1,000 billions. Nailed to the raft of sense, swept by the magnitude. Upward into the dome of brilliance, limping, and the gem-like rock glowed under the mosses, the ferns splayed like cool flames, and trees lifted, arching and strained to the august sky. And there were open spaces where I found other journeyers, resting or climbing, strangers, sweet eyes once cracked in the torturing cold. And some few I saw known to me, and one was a woman I had once married, now like a soft ash inly aglow, rippling the violet of mind's smile like the concentricities of a woodland pool. And our hands touching sang the small cock crow as for night's ending across the distant fields. So through the alert forests we advanced together, by streams that leapt faultlessly to the far nether sea, crystalline, syllabled, by savors, herbs, spilt flowers on the way, the vines and berry trees bright with their meat, each blossom in separate need, conjointly gendered, simple and brave, shaped by a seasonal sap to the forms of earth in its sovereign histories. And so we too, there in a private place of hot endeavor, as root and bud and bloom, a bronze sky ringing above, the wild wheat singing. Proven never, being riven by a steely word that seals and deafens, till, until, one is but one, and all affrighted, lone, alone. Still, no treason, time or distance, quells the quick supposing faith. Will and reason drive the breath. You, you, you. And I had seen the scarred small breast of the hurt woman, imperfect, wounded, wakening in my body the honeyed and flowing anguish of her being weighed on my lameness. But it was love. And afterward we went on, climbing together into the fire, the flames seeming to touch us, flittering on our arms, purifying us, so that the shimmer and gleam moved between us as the force of our desire, altering in our humility beyond desire to acceptance, each of himself in the other truly. And of these still other ones, these multitudes converging now as the mount narrowed, moving upward together in need as food of the earth up in the heat of the marrying sun. Light is the force that alone resists the wind, stays unwavering, though the wind sweeps by. And often our hands reached out in guidance or assistance, for scarcely a one was unwounded, and eyes I saw ill-placed in the mask of shock. Yes, tongues had been torn out, backs had been furrowed with lashes, many an eye blinded, many a limb broken, and the able of body walked with a shackling gait. In truth, this journey was the painfulest, gravest, and in this we knew one another, losing for a rare time the futility of words. To stake it all, the need and the response, the point from which intelligence went forth, the failing quality of aspiration in which one found one's strength, the walled terrors in which one found love, and finally the indifferent space everywhere dividing individual work. To stake it all on a flawed, soft, abused, and unreliable, imperfect word, magnanimity. And up, far, far, the astral banks, and then, nowhereness broods there, contemplates this hatch, dictum, denial, either way, absurd. And that's the horror, that too is part of the song. To the last woodland ridge, to the summit we came, where the forest parted, withdrew from the broadening road, and where in the humming sun the journeyers gathered, groups walking easily now, the highways converging. And when with a murmur and extending of arms we came to the place where the city of gold lay visible, we paused briefly to marvel and passed on to the avenues continuing among scenes of consummate splendor, arches and arabesque all agleam in the sun, the golden and emerald tiles, and the folk there, both the fair-born ones of the city and those others, our immigrant people, greeting us as we moved on wondering feet onward, still toward the center. And we came at last to the park where the city opened round an emblazoned zone, and the light, liquescent and shimmering, seemed a golden roseate intensity, seemed as a fountain ascending, whose returning flow made the sunfire's cascade swirling and vaporing. And in the midst was the great wheel rising, turning in music and light, where the people rode in their separateness all together, ascending and equally descending in the light, instructed at each place of the wheel's endlessness. And there the multitude assembled, crowding in the unity of concord, all estates and relations of being, but chiefly the female and the male together, joined in desires, known imperfectibilities, the great loves with the less, always unequal, able and unable, making each of his opposite anguish the cause of love. And this was a real urbanity. Holiday, holiday, the sun and the wheel, and my companion and I, hand in hand by the edge of the park, until we also stepped forward, identities, we with the others, the gimp and the aging lady, two notes of the flute. And for once, unambiguously, all was turned to account. And I saw how the bitter, bitter shame, terror, quick retaliation and lust, yes, even ignorance that is called evil, the enormous relative compassment complete, the rebellion too, the heart's grand assertions against the ruins of broken works and days, all fact, all dream, how from this we make, each in his only ascertainable center, the world of realization, the suffered reality, through which comes understanding, or, if not understanding, at least the person fleshed sufficiently, sufficiently, in love's fragments that gleam in the rubbish of cruelty and wrong. To know what it is to receive what one has given, as in a kiss, to bear and to be born, to see the earth beneath the heron's eye. Anything ends in its beginning, the circles turning slowly, so slowly, quern of the beat of the down-running heart. The sunlight fell like diamonds, but did not slacken, remembrances forewarning, of cold and dark to come, the journey retaken, without end, without end. And so purity was compounded of impurity. My spirit rose, a leaf above the fire. In poverty of means was the authentic end. Ah, the rack song! Who shall turn the wheel? Who shall give up his bones to be parted? Our guilt contorts the images of our mercy. But is not our humility more than we thought, more than a last refuge of the aggressive mind? And in our knowing, even unto all unknowing, we are, spite of a foolish end, under your ancient brightness, O grey stars. From this we speak, and our speech is love, without witness, simply and for the day.